Hey, I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to be discussing Airbnb nightmares. This is where Airbnb or service accommodation goes wrong. Quick disclaimer, I actually do think Airbnb service accommodation is a fantastic strategy. If you've watched the show and heard myself and Anna discuss it, we make a lot of money from service accommodation, make a lot of money from Airbnb. So I think it's amazing. However, it does sometimes go wrong. First story that pops into my head, one where we were together actually. Do you remember when we were in Birmingham?
Yes.
So we're in Birmingham. I get a phone call from the guest, probably about 5 o'clock. They've just checked in. They ring me up. They say, Russell, they actually did know me because they've been guests before, which made it slightly better.
Yeah, I do think that helped.
Yeah. They were like, Russell, we've just checked into your property. It's an absolute state. The beds haven't been changed. There's rubbish in the bins. It just clearly hasn't been cleaned. So I'm like, oh no. I personally hate this sort of call as well.
Yeah.
It's like the worst. If you've got a normal guest, sorry, not normal guest. If you've got a normal tenant, and that's never going to happen, first of all. But if there is a problem, it's their home. They take some responsibility. When it's a guest, they expect you to do everything, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh. So I ring the cleaner, ringing, can't get through. I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? So I start ringing other cleaners. I'm like Googling cleaners. After about an hour.
And also, it wasn't just you. There was four of us, wasn't there? All ringing cleaners.
After about an hour, I'm like, guys, we're going to have to go and clean this ourselves. Now, luckily, we were with a couple of friends. One of our friends used to be a cleaner, so I very much threw the onus on her. So we drive down to the property. As the four of us, we're like, really sorry. We get in there. I didn't do a lot, I'm not going to lie.
No, I think you were the most unhelpful.
It's not really my bag.
But you kind of chatted.
I appeased the client. I was the point of contact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ellen did most of the work, really.
She did.
So we go through, we clean the property and we left. And it's just like, that would never happen with a normal property, right? And the cleaner just forgotten about it. I don't know, gone to a party or something, turned the phone off. I was just like...
We're so lucky that we actually could go because we happened to be near the property. That property actually is nowhere near where we actually live.
No.
We were up visiting friends. So that could have been a real disaster.
Yeah, and that has happened. That was the ones we were... But it's happened when we haven't gone as well.
Yes.
We had one of our ones down in London where the clean didn't go in. Guest turns up, no clean. That is the worst nightmare.
That is. And that's why we always go on about... Make sure your cleaner is amazing, because I think if the cleaner gets it wrong, it does cause all sorts of problems. It's a big one if you've got an unreliable cleaner.
Yeah, it's across our portfolio, it's probably happened to us over the last couple of years, what, about 5 times?
Yeah.
Probably. So it's not like it never happens. It does occasionally happen. And you're relying on staff, aren't you? It's the same as when... If you run a coffee shop, I know when we first got married, you worked at Marks Spencer's.
Yeah.
I suppose from the manager's point of view, if a person from the team didn't turn up, that could be problematic. It's the same as that, isn't it?
Yeah.
The worst is when they don't tell you, though.
Yeah.
Just don't turn up, don't do it.
So the problem's just dropped on you.
So what's the lesson there? How can you make sure that this... Because that is one of the worst nightmares.
Yeah, it is.
One of the issues, cleaner doesn't turn up. What's the lesson? How can you make sure that doesn't happen, or at least happens as infrequently as possible, because it leads to all sorts of bad things. Leads to bad reviews.
Yeah.
Well, here, actually, let's tackle that first straight on. We've never had a bad review from it.
No, we haven't.
Because I think if you deal with it in the right way, so how we normally deal with it, obviously we apologize immediately,
yeah.
Right? So if they ring you up, I'm really, really sorry to hear that. Let me try and get hold of the cleaner straight away and I'll sort it out for you. And then the other thing that we do, if it does inconvenience them, so I've said, look, leave the property, go. There's a restaurant on the corner. We'll give you £50 to cover your restaurant. We'll get the cleaner in and we'll sort it. So then it suddenly goes from, oh, they've absolutely screwed me over.
Yeah.
To okay,
they
made a mistake.
Really,
but look how reasonable. I've even had. Because it happened not that long ago, didn't it? And I showed you the messages. It was sort of in December, so a couple of months ago. And I showed you the messages, and she's thanking me.
Yeah.
You're such a man of integrity. Thank you so much. Right. Because I think people realise that stuff is always going to go wrong. There's always stuff going to go wrong. But if you deal with it in a good way and you deal with it well, if anything, it actually builds customer trust.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, ah, when something goes wrong, this is how well they deal with it.
Also, I think if you put your hands up and say, look, I'm really sorry, it's a good principle, isn't it? Because like they say, if you're really angry at someone and you go in all guns blazing, which in these cases, people tend to, they start off quite because they're going on holiday and they expect better and they can be all, they don't ring up all nice going, hello, just to let you know, your property wasn't clean. They're like, oh, I've arrived, I'm furious. If you go, look, so sorry, our fault. It does diffuse it, doesn't it?
Mm.
It's hard to then keep having a go at someone who's saying sorry.
Yeah.
And so I always think if you say sorry first, it puts them like, oh, I've got to calm down a bit now because they've said sorry, they've taken ownership and they're trying to fix it. And I do think it stops those awkward conversations quite quickly and then it diffuses it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it totally diffuses it. You always apologise.
If you get all like...
If you get argumentative.
Going, yeah. It just escalates. So you just want to apologise straight away. Sorry, totally our fault. We'll get onto this straight away. And then you do find that most people then are very, very reasonable. So after that, I don't think we've had anyone that... Hence why we've had no bad reviews.
Yeah.
Everyone's been very understanding.
Another question I always ask, once you've apologised and you've said, look, so the first thing is to get a cleaner in, isn't it?
Mm.
But once you've sorted it, another question I always ask, I sometimes suggest something like I suggested the sending to a restaurant, right? If something comes to mind, but if it doesn't, I literally ask the question, what can I do to make this right?
Yeah.
And then often they'll be like, the fact that you're trying to make it right is often enough.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, look, don't worry about it. You know, you've done a great job. Or they might say, well, we'd appreciate a 10% refund. No problem. I'd rather give the 10% refund, the 20% refund, the 50% refund.
Yeah.
Than have an unhappy guest leave me a bad review. Because in this game, reviews are everything.
Yeah. And then, not the Birmingham one, but the other time it happened, the woman did just say, didn't she, look, I just want to go and stay in a hotel instead.
And we just refunded
the full amount. Can I just have a refund?
Yeah.
And we were like, yeah, because then she didn't leave a bad review because she was just like, cool, you refunded me.
Was the one that thanked me. That was the one recently that thanked me. Yeah. So that's the first thing. Your clean doesn't go in. So that's how you deal with it if it happens. What we do now, obviously, we've got a channel manager. So what that means is all our bookings go on one diary and the cleaner has access to the diary. And you can set up reminders as well. But I personally... What I like to do on a check-in day is every morning I look in, who have I got checking in today? And I just give the cleaner a call. It just gives me peace of mind.
Yeah.
Give the cleaner a call. And the only time it's ever happened is where I haven't bothered to do that. And I've kind of got complacent. If you give the cleaner a call in the morning, you know, if you've got staff, you do this. You check it, their staff at the end of the day. You check in with your staff. Give them a call in the morning. Hey, just check in. You've got this property and this property. And the other cleaner, you've got this property. And just check in on them and make sure that they're actually going to go in and sort it. So that's my top tip, I suppose, for avoiding that. Now, next issue.
I have one more tip with cleaners. Sorry.
You're cutting in on me to offer more value to these guys. What are you doing? Go on.
No, only a quick tip on cleaners is...
It better be a quick tip.
don't have a cleaner where it's just a one-man band.
Yeah, that's a bit sexist, though. Could be a one-woman band.
Because I think then it does happen more often, because then they actually will be sick. And there's no cover. Oh, I'm ill today.
So what's the sweet spot? I
wouldn't go for like a
big company
because
they're too expensive. I agree with you, but I think the sweet spot is where there's like two or three.
Yeah.
Some of our cleaners are one woman bands, but they've got cleaner friends and they cover one another.
Yeah.
So it's kind of not, but it is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you want someone that's got cover. Or it's going to take ownership and can sort cover if they can't.
Yeah, because then normally, even if a mistake happens, or they can call in someone else.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Which does help.
I agree. All right, next issue. Very similar issue, but kind of the opposite. Another one I've had. I had a phone call from a guest. Turned up the property. It's disgusting. I want a refund. I'm not happy, right? However, they were lying.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, the property was spotless. right?
Yeah.
So how do you know when it's good and when it's bad? How do you know, right? So the first thing that I always say when they ring up and they say this, and again, I think this has only happened to me once.
Yeah.
It's still possible to happen. But I've known other people that this has happened to as well. So the first thing is, look, really sorry to hear that. Let me get in touch with the cleaner and find out what's happened, right? So before I kind of make a judgment on it, I apologize that they're upset, but I'm not saying, oh yes, the house is disgusting. It's just, I'm really surprised and sorry to hear that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not, you're not admitting liability, but you're still apologizing. Then try and get in touch with the cleaner. What I get my cleaners to do now after this happened is when they finish the clean, they just do a quick video, go around, showing the whole property. They don't send it me, but they just got it on their phone.
Yeah.
So, the reason that I did this is luckily when this person lied, my cleaner had already done that. I didn't know, but they were doing it after every clean anyway, because they've had it before with service accommodation as well.
Yeah.
The guests are trying it on. So they do this, they go around and film. And then I went back to they showed me, they were like, no, it's spotless. Here's the video showing every room going around. So I went back and said, I'm really confused. You said it's disgusting, but my cleaners just sent me this video. Look, it was done this morning. Here's the video of what it looked like. And they were like, don't worry about it, forget it. And I'm like, if it really was messy, you wouldn't say, don't worry about it, forget it. If it really was messy, you'd be like, no, look at this. Here am I's video back proving it. But they didn't. That's how I knew they were lying. I just thought, isn't that interesting? Some people will try it on.
Yeah, of course.
To get a refund. So would you, in that situation, do you think best bet is just to not accept it and to go back to them and go, no? In a very nice way, I was more like, oh, I'm really confused because the cleaners just sent me over this from this morning. Is this different to what you've got? Don't worry about it, forget it. Do you think it's best to go about like that or just to customers always right and refund them anyway?
No, I would do what you did. I think you've definitely, if you've got the evidence that they're lying, you don't have, like you say, if he said, don't really forget about it, you don't have to continue it and go, no, I'm not forgetting about it. You've obviously lied here.
Yeah, don't call them out being a liar.
Yeah.
But just sort of let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Because the problem is, again, you're a little bit in a predicament of if you push, they could leave a bad review.
Yeah, you don't want to annoy them.
You don't want to annoy them, but you just want to politely say, we know that isn't actually the case.
Yeah.
In the nicest way you can possibly do it.
You want to let them off the hook being a liar.
Yep.
But without being a pushover.
Yeah. I wouldn't just, if you got clear evidence and you know they're lying, no, there's no way I'd give a refund.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so that's another slight issue. Right, here's another one that I had. This was a bit of a nightmare as well. Again, it was a far away. Why have we got so many essays far away?
I know.
Very frustrating.
I wonder if you're thinking of the one I'm thinking of. The key.
Yes.
Yes.
Right, so guest turns up. Cleaner's been in. Cleaned it. No issues. Fabulous job as usual. Guest arrives. Key safe won't open. Can't get in. So they ring me up. They're like, oh, we've got there. The key safe doesn't open. I can't get it to open. I was like, so I rang the cleaner. She's now gone away. She wasn't around. I couldn't get her to go over and let them in. So I had to. I had a key. I had to pay one of my staff.
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't have staff, it would be you going. I had to pay one of my staff to drive, come to me, get the key, drive 2 hours there, drive 2 hours back to drop off the spare key that I had. So what had happened, the key safe had just broken. This does sometimes happen. They're outside in all weathers. They've been there for a couple of years. It just broke.
Yeah.
So what did you do? I had to get a handyman to go out and fix it. And what I did, and this is the lesson, I should have done this in the first place, stupid, but I now have two key safes at every property. So I've got the one visible that they know about, and I've got a hidden one somewhere else. So that one I've put near the bins, but wherever you hide it around the back, wherever it is, a hidden one somewhere that you're not planning on ever using, but it's just there in case of an emergency. So if this happens and they ring me up, I can say, look, there is a spare key safe. Describe where it is. They can go and get it. That was a nightmare. That could involve driving up and go on.
We've also had it where it hasn't broken, but the guest has accidentally forgot to put it back in.
Yeah.
So then that actually came in handy because we have used that since, where they've had to use the second key safe because...
They have. We've had to use it a couple of times.
Yeah.
That happens less than you'd think. I thought that would be a big issue. That's never been an issue. I mean, it has happened.
But considering the amount of years.
Considering, yeah, it's never really been an issue.
I've always thought, though, do you know if they take the key? Like, did we chase them to get that key back? Or
no, they put it back in. They didn't leave. They checked out late, hadn't they? And they'd gone out that the one time. It's only happened once.
Yeah, it's only happened once.
Yeah, yeah, but they put it back.
Okay.
They did put it back. But yeah, so there you go. There is another potential problem. Key safe breaks. How do they get in? Answer is have a separate key safe. Or we've got a hotel in Cambridge, and we were just talking about this yesterday.
Yeah.
We've used a company called Nuki. And what it is, it's each door has got like a keypad code on, and it auto-generates a new code for their every check-in. So when they book for the channel manager, it generates them a code. It then sets the code for the time that they are booked. So at 3 p.m. or whatever your check-in time is, until 11 a.m. on the day they check out, the code will work with the one that they've been given. And then as soon as they've finished, it's gone. It's now the next code for the next guest. And you've got like a master code for the cleaners that they can use every time. Which is quite cool as well, because then you can visually see the cleaners being in.
Yeah. I personally think that's brilliant. I think when we were away once in Copenhagen and went to an Airbnb, they had that. It's the first time I'd seen it. And I just thought that revolutionises it, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, we kind of want to work around our properties, putting them in, because I think it's just brilliant. Let's stop messing around with keys and key safes. Like, let's just have codes to get in.
Change. I agree.
I think it's safer, and I think it's just easier.
Oh, it's much easier. It means you've got no headache, no worry about lost keys, no worry about broken key safes.
Yeah, just and I think it works. If you can make them as easy as possible... And that, I think, revolutionises the key safe.
Yeah, I agree. It does cost a bit more.
Yeah.
So, you know, it might be something once you've got your SA up and running, it's making money, you can justify it.
Yeah.
Our hotel, it's costing us about $8,000.
Yeah, it's not cheap, is it?
No. Well, that is for like 26 rooms, but still, it's a lot cheaper if you're just doing one. But it's not super cheap.
Yeah.
It is expensive. All right, here's another one. This is a weird one I've never had before. I've never had since. Don't expect to ever have again. One time special. So we've got one of our SAs, a three-story house. And the cleaner went in and the
this is a funny one.
Had took the two single beds from the third story, second story, ground floor, but the top floor anyway, and brought them down into the living room downstairs.
Yeah, that is very odd.
And the cleaner had to go and get a friend of hers to help her carry them back upstairs. I was just like, what on earth?
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Like, what was going for? Who sits there and thinks, there's a bedroom upstairs? Yeah, I don't really like a bedroom. I know what I'll do. I'll carry the two beds down to the living room. The only thing I can assume is that it was four people and like two of them were like elderly and they didn't want to walk up and down the stairs. So, the other two, I mean, this just dawned on me just now. The other two brought the beds down. It's the only thing I can think of. But you'd take them back up, wouldn't you?
Either take them back up, or if it was that bad, they can't walk the stairs to bed, you would think you'd just book somewhere appropriate, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like, and maybe don't do Airbnb, maybe go to a hotel that you can catch a lift.
Yeah, you'd
think
so.
Like, it seems a bit odd to go to an Airbnb and then have to move the beds down. But that does seem one of the only logical reasons, because how weird. And like you say, it did cause us problems because then the cleaner couldn't do it on her own and had to, who moves a whole bed down? When you think about that, that is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
And also, thinking of that property, those two single beds would have taken up pretty much the whole lounge. You'd be like stepping over the beds.
She sent me a picture. She was like, what the hell should I do? I was like, oh, you have to take it back. Have you got... She's like, I can't do it on my own. So have you got a friend or anyone that can help you? She's like, I can try. But it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, just...
Absolutely crazy.
Weird.
The interesting thing as well is if you're looking for... Talking about the key safe situation, the new key. If you're looking for good reviews, I saw a study on hotels and 90% of a customer's hotel or service accommodation experience, 90% of how much they enjoy it, is dependent on the check-in experience.
Yeah.
right? So if you have a good check-in experience, you're very, very likely to enjoy your whole stay and you're very likely to let little things go.
Yep.
If you have a bad check-in experience, it doesn't matter what they do, you're going to be unhappy, right? Because you're off on the wrong foot.
Yep.
Right, it's like first impressions.
Oh yeah, I totally agree because I know I'm very led by first impressions when I go somewhere.
Yeah, so it's really important that you get your check-in experience good. And if it's not, like if you've got, you know, it's pretty much the same, isn't it? It's like you've got a key safe, but you don't want them not able to find the key safe. No. You don't. So make sure when you send your check-in instructions, you give really clear instructions of where it is, what it is. Any problems at this stage is going to put them off the whole stay.
Yeah.
And make them leave you a bad review, which is why I like the new key so much. Because I just think it makes it so simple.
Yeah.
It's just like, here's your code. You haven't got it's on your door.
Yeah.
Right.
Can't
there.
Really go wrong, can it? I don't no. really see how it could possibly go wrong.
No. No. But even things like, I went to a hotel conference the other day, just internal one. And the signposts to the room, we were in the Windsor suite. So I was told, oh, you're in the Windsor suite. So I get in, it's like Windsor suite and a load of others were to the left. So I turned left and I just a dead end. I was like, oh. So I went back. I was like, oh, it must be this way. So I walked that way. And it was like, ah, now Windsor Suite is left. And it was wrong again. It wasn't wrong, but it was just so sort of ambiguous. And so yeah. you had to guess. And I kept getting it wrong. And I'm still knocked. It's so little. It's such a nothing thing. And I'm still a bit knocked about it now. It's like, why is the sign so rubbish? Like, why is it so hard to find the damn room?
I'm laughing because if you think that was bad, what about when we just went skiing and we tried to find the ski room?
Oh, yeah.
And they just went, go down there to the ski room. And about 15 minutes later,
yeah.
we'd traipsed the whole hotel and were still trying to find the ski room. And it was like in the weirdest place. Like through a door that you'd never think to open.
And so because we missed that door, we just kept walking and walking.
Again, there was no signs.
No.
There was no. And it was the way they just went.
But you know what?
Down there, the ski room.
Interestingly, that was even worse, right? But because it happened mid-stay, I'll be cool with it.
Yeah, because we liked them so much. But yeah. actually, that was really bad service.
It was bad service. But I'd already, the hotel, lovely five-star yeah. hotel, love the hotel, let them off that.
Yeah.
This thing happened at the very beginning. That's yeah. why the beginning is so important.
Yeah.
But one of the things I love about service accommodation is but the check-in experience. I think there's two ways to do good check-in and they're the exact opposite of each other.
Okay.
You've got the totally self-reliant check-in, which is what service accommodation is. I don't have to talk to anyone. I don't have to see anyone. I can just let myself in. I can just turn up, put my keypad in, bang, I'm in. Great. The other is what you get in a five-star hotel where it's really, you just rock up and they show you to the room immediately and they help you bring your bags up and they do everything for you. They're the best. The worst is everything else, which is kind of halfway house in the middle. Do you know when you go to a Hilton and then you're big queue and then it's like, oh, and then you get to the front and then it's like, right, what's your name? And I'm just like, why have I got to give you this crap? Where's your passport? Where's the credit card? The one that you paid, I haven't brought the one I paid for. I'm like, I can't let you in then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like yeah. that in between stage. And then they're like, right, here's your room key. And then you have to walk off miles. It's like, oh, it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
And that's going to cause bad reviews. Whereas with SA, obviously we can't go the heavy touch one. We can't do the check them in. Well, you could do if you lived on site. But there's no point because it's just as good to let them do everything themselves.
And actually, talking on that topic, I was just thinking to myself about bad Airbnb experiences. But I was thinking of my personal.
All right, go on.
Bad experience. So we do quite a few Airbnbs just because we like to go and see how other people run them and things. Remember the one we went to in Worcestershire? And we went away with friends. So we thought, I know what we'll do. We'll Airbnb a big house.
It's like a mansion, wasn't it? Yeah.
It looked and was incredible. Now, I'm not for. Because you just went, oh, well, if you live close, go and check them. No. I don't want to be personally welcomed.
But you say that, right? But what about, do you remember we went to the Isle of Wight?
Yeah.
They were living on site. Yeah. They were really good.
Maybe there's a limit.
Yeah, but the reason that you didn't like these people isn't because they were there on site. It's because they were so intrusive.
Yeah,
it's
but
like,
that's what
leave
I mean.
Me alone. It felt like you were staying in their house.
Well, they were opposite, weren't they?
Yeah.
And they'd built this house. They'd built the whole. It was a very interesting plot, actually.
Mm.
They'd built all the six houses, but they should never have Airbnb'd one because they clearly were too precious about it.
Yeah.
And they were so, they took you round each individual thing, which you might think, oh, that's great, because now we know instantly how to work the TV. But they were like, damage that, that will cost you. Or someone damaged that pool table, that cost them. And it became like the joke of the, if the kids dropped a cushion on the floor, everyone was going, oh, that will cost us. And then what, your car alarm went off at like 7 a.m. and all 4 of us adults got messages from them. What's going on? Is that the smoke alarm? What's happening? What's happening? What are you doing over there? And, we've heard the kids running around screaming. What's going on? Oh, it was just...
So you want to be left alone, don't you?
Too much.
You don't want a tour.
No, and I'm not for... You can say it's nice to be met by them. Never want them.
I'm probably thinking hotels. Do you remember we went to LA and we stayed at the Grand something on Santa Monica Beach?
Yes.
And we... So we check in and they go, oh, take your bags up to your rooms. They took the bags up to your room. And we got into the room. And it wasn't...
Sorry, I can't go.
It wasn't a big suite or anything. It was just a normal room, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the guy said, hey, would you like a tour of your room?
So I'm thinking, obviously not.
I don't know why, but I was like, yeah, please. And he looked a bit surprised. He was like, So he's like, well, this is the bed. Oh, yeah, it's the bed, yeah.
This is the most awkward bathroom. 5 minutes of my life. Because he felt awkward, so started saying things like, this is where the toothbrushes are.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to think, it was a bed and a bathroom. How much can you say? But because you'd asked for a tour, he felt obliged to start saying, oh,
it was quite funny.
Soap. And we just awkwardly stood there like, right. And then he was like, well, that's the tour over.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, no, it was quite awkward. I don't know why I said it. But yeah, so I think they're probably, unless you can think of anything else, I think they're probably the worst things that have happened to us with our Airbnb business.
Yeah, I don't. So it's not that bad
it's
now.
It's not that bad. Overall, it's very, very good. It can be a bit stressful. When a client calls you, they're stressed. Something's gone wrong. You're not there. You've got to deal with it. You've got to sort it out. Oh, I tell you, there is something else we've had. We've had certain problems. Like we had the boiler broke at one of our properties.
Yeah.
Boiler broke. There was no heating. And again, all you can do is back to the original thing. If something does go wrong, all you can do is apologize. And how can you make it right? So with them, we got a plumber in straight away. And then we refunded them the days that the boiler was broke. And they were really happy. Because again, I said to them, what can I do to make it right? That's what they suggested. We did it. Because they went and stayed at a Premier Inn, I think, while there was no heating so they could shower and stuff. So stuff does sometimes go wrong with the house. Can be stressful, but if you deal with it in a good customer service way, apologise. Don't get into an argument with them, even if they're lying and messed it up. Always apologise first. Investigate it, sort it as fast as possible, and ask the question, what can I do to make it right? If you do that, you're not going to go far wrong, and you will make a lot of money. And most of the time, it's pretty easy to manage and pretty good. Only the odd time that you have some of these Airbnb nightmares. But I hope you enjoyed the show anyway. I'm Russell Leeds.
I'm Anna Leeds.
And we'll see you next week.